Greetings, everyone, and welcome. We're live here once again in Honesdale at the Institute's headquarters. It's so great that you could join us tonight, and it's equally great to know that all of you will be here in just under 2 months at Pandaji's Sri Vidya Sadhana Immersion Program beginning July 15th. Tonight, Pandaji is here to talk to us a little bit about how we can prepare between now and July 15th. As you know, Pandaji's program in July coincides with the consecration of the Sri Vidya Shrine on July 16th, and also kicks off our year-long meditation program. Our web team and our marketing teams have put together just a beautiful set of web pages online at yearlongmeditation.org that describe how we all can participate in the year-long meditation program. Of special interest, when you go to yearlongmeditation.org, it just takes an email address to register. Of special interest is this really cool feature called the Meditation Tracker. With the tracker, you simply log in through your commitment, maybe your pledge on how much meditation you want to do during the year-long meditation program. And the tracker will keep track, of course, what you do, your collective, your own individual practice, as well as our collective progress toward a goal that Pandaji set for us. What is that collective goal? It's 1,000,008 hours of meditation during that year-long meditation program. Sounds like a big goal, but I think we can do it. More importantly, I think Pandaji thinks we can do it. So let's do it. And with that, again, welcome, and it's great to have you join us, and here's Pandaji. Thanks.
Welcome, everyone. Let us begin with prayer. या विद्या शिवकेशवादि जननी या वै जगन्मोहिनी या पंच प्रणव द्विरेफ नलिनी या चेत्कला मालिनी या ब्रह्मादि पिपीलिकादि तनुषो प्रोक्ता जगत साक्षिणी श्री विद्यावतु सामां भगवती श्रीराजराजेश्वरी 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 ओम शांति शांति. Once again, welcome. Today I will discuss with you 4 things. And by the way, I have been told that there will be no time for question and answer for a very good reason, because there is a beautiful problem, and that problem is called blessing, that so many of you have already decided to join the Sri Vidya Sadhana Immersion that coincides with the Sri Vidya Shrine grand opening and consecration. And if we start getting into too many questions, probably we'll continue for next many hours. So however, you are most welcome, and I will encourage that you please do write to me, and so that I can answer you any question in case if I cannot answer, you know, as part of my presentation. Although I will try my best to put my mind into your mind, my heart into your heart, so that I can address all possible questions which you may have in your mind. So first thing, before we try to prepare ourselves for this beautiful program is to know and to understand what is this shrine and what is difference between a living shrine and so-called a just a regular shrine. That's point number one. Point number two, what is our relationship with the shrine? Point number three, what are the shaktis that fill the space inside the shrine, outside the shrine, and what is our relationship with those shaktis? And it is in the light of these three points, then I will explain how do we prepare ourselves to do our practice, do our study, and enjoy this grand celebration in most productive and fulfilling manner. So first thing, although I have told you many, many times, and thank God a majority of you have taken courses with me, have been studying with me for a long time, but it's still good to remind ourselves that shrine is not a physical structure. A shrine is a living entity just as you are and I am. You go to India, places like Jaipur, Varanasi, or you go to Thailand, Bangkok, and you buy beautiful, marvelous statues. And you may put those statues in the best spot in your living room, but still, and that aesthetically, it may make very much sense, very impressive. Visitors admire it. And yet, the space where you put does not necessarily become a shrine just because there is a beautiful, expensive statue there. Contrary to that, you go to some other places where there may or may not be any statue, may or may not be any altar, may or may not be a very beautiful, impressive temple or so-called structure. And yet, you feel an extraordinary energy. And when somebody asks you, tell me exactly, describe, what do you mean that by energy? Perhaps you may not be able to say that. We go to different parts of the Himalayas, shrines in North India, Central India, South India. While people are there, they are engaged in so many, they are facing lots of hardship. Different culture, different language, not so easy to reach. It's very busy going from place to place in the midst of that. Even though things have improved, travel agencies are doing wonderful jobs, and still, there are times when you may not get the exact kind of food you like to eat. Sometimes days and days go by and you don't get to wash your clothes. And yet, when you come back, you start missing those places and you do not know exactly why. Long time ago, before Srividya Shrine here in Hansdale and even before Srividya Shrine in Khajuraho, India started, we were there in Mount Kailash, that is westernmost part of Tibet, which is the home of our the most ancient monastery. It was very difficult to reach there. 20-30 people along with me, majority of them were, not majority of them, let's say every person was tired and exhausted. Few people were not doing very great. As soon as we landed there, we were constantly traveling between 13,000 to 16,000, and by the time we were at the lake and we were at the Mount Kailas, we were somewhere in the range of between 16 and 18 or even 18,700 feet elevation. So the altitude sickness, everybody was experiencing altitude sickness. So most of our energy went into surviving. But when we came back, within 3-4 weeks' time, people started writing and calling, "When are we going back?" Okay. There is no explanation other than that whole mountain is a living shrine. In that mountain, there is no temple. Even we did not visit a single cave. We did not visit a single monastery. All we did circumambulation of the lake, and even that, just only few miles by foot, and the rest was by car. And what we really circumambulated, went around, was the Mount Kailas. From the standpoint of archaeologists, anthropologists, theologists, religionists, all we did, we walked on the rocks and boulders. We crossed few streams. We spent our nights in camps. And we did not meet any local people to really interact with anybody. Therefore, it doesn't sound really any great trip. But those who went, they know how profound it was. And all of them want to go back again. Because that is a living shrine. Living shrine is something which has its own life-sustaining energy. To give you an example, I had gotten small pieces of rocks. One big piece of that so-called rock, sacred rock, was given to me by a saint, a yogi, a master, who was hiding in one of the caves in higher Himalayas, a shrine called Badrinath. Around 20-50 of us were walking around. I ended up walking into not necessarily a cave, but a long space, dark, that was covered by a protruding rock. Mira, my wife, myself were walking. Then deep inside I saw a human being sitting there. By the time our eyes had adjusted to the darkness, then we saw it was a sadhu. The particular rock I saw that he had in front of him has very special term, very special name. That rock comes only from a particular lake, small lake, in high Himalayas in Nepal, called Damodar Kund. I knew the value of that rock. And I also know what kind of set of mantras to be recited if you happen to see that rock. So my wife and myself respectfully stood there and we recited a set of 16 mantras called Purusha Sukta. Some of you may recall. By the time we completed, Sadhu was very pleased and asked us to sit down. His happiness was that ages had gone by, he had not heard anybody reciting those set of mantras. So he started asking us, ask anything. What can I give you? I'm a sadhu, I may not have much for myself, but I have plenty for wonderful pilgrims like you. When he insisted many, many times, then very respectfully I asked, if you are really pleased, please give me this rock. Of course, I didn't say rock. Name of that rock is called Saligram. He looked at me and he said, I have to be here for a month or so more before I go back to where I came from. Can you come back in a month or two? I'll give you. So I said, Baba, I have come from long distance and I'm living in the world which puts so much demand on us. He said, where do you live? I said, America. He said, where is that place? I said, seven seas across. He said, So there are seas, oceans? I said, yes. So how do you go? I said, I go by aeroplane. Oh, yes. That thing that flies in the sky? I said, yes. And I have seen during my wandering in the mountains, I have seen. How long does it take? I said, it takes around 20 hours, 22 hours. He said, only that much? I said, yes, Baba. He said, how long have you been living? I said, I come back and forth. Good, good. Perhaps he had been totally away from any human civilization for ages, since he had been a young man, God knows how long he had been there. To cut the story short, I got that stone. I carried that stone from that shrine called Badrinath to another shrine called Kedarnath. I took bath, I stayed in one of the guest house, and again that is almost like 12,500 or 13,000 feet elevation, very, very cold place. And when I took bath, I wanted to give bath to this small piece of rock. My wife and myself, we decided to give bath. We thought, let's give him a bath. Each time we tried to wash and then wipe the stone with towel, the stone used to slip from our hand and hop, just hop like a baby, and used to go back into the bucket. And Mira and myself tried to pick up that rock, wash again, and put it on the towel, but again, it used to jump out of our hand. Then we had to really pray to him that you have taken enough bath, now please, you know, let me dry you up. It is that rock that sat at my altar for a long time, and then finally it reached Khajuraho, Central India. Those of you who have been to Khajuraho, you know what a living shrine really means. Similarly here, it is a living shrine. A part of it is due to divine will. A part of it, a part of this so-called livingness is due to our love, intention, and our willingness, our desire to do our practice. A part of it is due to the blessings. Part of it, our collective awareness. All together makes a shrine, living shrine. Most importantly, there is a whole set of rules that when you set up a shrine, what can be done and what must be done. Depending on the exact nature of the shrine, depending on the exact nature of the divinity that is invited to be there, there is a whole set of rituals, whole set of practices. So for example, I'll be starting this practice. It's toward the preparation for the shrine and its consecration, starting 44 days before the shrine opens. That means June 1st. There are specific spots even before the shrine inside is consecrated. Certain degree of certain kind of consecration will be done at the arch. 10 different spots outside the main shrine, the structure. Then consecration of the Havan Kund, the fire, the place where we do the fire offering, that is also to be consecrated. Then another set of consecration of certain group of divinities to be done right at the main door that opens into the main hall of meditation hall. Certain kind of shaktis have to be invoked and meditated upon in the corridor, and finally comes the inner sanctum, inner shrine, Garbhagriha. That is where first of all the main practice will begin there, and then from there we come outside and then do all the practices for next 44 days all around, and then finally we enter the shrine. That's what it takes. On top of that, just to make sure that anything that may have happened due to our ignorance, carelessness, sloth, inertia, doubt, procrastination, or let's say due to the lack of enough knowledge or complete knowledge, all that is to be compensated, all that is to be kind of offset by the 100 recitation of Durga Saptashati. A practice that already began just few days ago on May 27th, and July 15th, it will be 50 days. In 50 days time, this practice to be completed by someone who is fluent in the recitation of Durga Saptashati. Therefore, when you come, the major portion of the practice is done so that you find the shrine in its fully awakened form. And that's what I mean when I say it's a living shrine. What is our relationship with that shrine? We are also a living shrine. Every living being is a living shrine. Every human being is a living shrine. But just because we are so close to ourselves, we quite often we do not realize that we are a living shrine. It never occurs to us that who is the architect of this shrine that we are? Who is the builder of this shrine that we are? Where are the bricks and mortars are coming of this shrine that we are? What are different limbs and organs, this shrine that we are? We do not know it. But the truth is that we are a living shrine. Such a living shrine that Creator created in her own image. And not only just created, but rather after having created, deposited her creative shakti in this great wonderful creation. Evidence that how precise is our thought process, how fast our thought process is translated into words, how spontaneously we think and immediately we speak. How perfect is our brain and nervous system. That there is not much, there is no gap at all between when we think and when our senses start understanding and immediately acting. Between thinking and action. By the time there is a ripple of thought arising, ripple, not even thought, but rather just sheer intention. By the time the sheer intention of doing something, thinking something arises, our entire vocal organ and all different limbs and organs of our body, they are fully responding to it. Even the Watson is not capable of mirroring what we are. And God knows whether there will be any Watson in the future that will be as perfect as this creation. So the purpose of having this kind of shrine and having this kind of sadhana immersion that we are talking about is to understand step by step and layer by layer our personal relationship with the shrine in the outside world. And exactly see which part of the shrine in the external world exactly corresponds to the which part of the shrine that we are, and vice versa. There is an awakened energy in the shrine outside us. And by tapping into that awakened energy, we have the opportunity to awaken our shaktis in our own inner shrine. At the same time, all of us have some degree of awakened shakti in us. We are human beings. That's automatically, that's evidence. All of us are inspired. All of us are motivated. All of us have that inner shakti. And all of us have our own unique connection with the divine within us and divine outside us. Therefore, through our sheer presence, as well as the sadhana that we do during this wonderful occasion, auspicious occasion of the consecration of the shrine, will contribute to the furtherance of the energy that is there in the Srividya shrine. The shrine helps us. Shrine helps us awaken our shakti, and the shakti that is already awakened in us helps awaken the shakti of the shrine. That's Kali Yajna, where the two are growing on in their mutually supportive manner. Mutually supportive manner. And just as, even though there is wonderful space, wonderful environment, wonderful energy in our household, but when baby is born or when there is a wedding, there are certain occasions when the joyful atmosphere of the house, home, intensifies. Our friends are there, family are there, like-minded people are there, our well-wishers are there. Everything combined, there comes a time during certain occasions, the energy, joyful energy of our homes intensifies. Same thing here, it's happening. Right at the time of the consecration of the shrine, the energy is so intensified. It is really a great fortune to bask in that energy. So I told you what is shrine and what is our relationship with the shrine. The next, a baby is born. It looks like just a baby is born. But isn't that, along with the baby, a brain is born, a liver is born, a kidney is born, intestine is born. Isn't that, along with the birth of the baby, vast vocabulary that is about to unfold very soon, the entire language or sets of languages are born. Limitless possibility of different branches of arts and sciences are born. Physics, mathematics, spirituality, different languages, history, geography. Limitless possibilities of traveling all over the world, inventing wonderful things. Everything is born when a child is born. Due to the limitation imposed on our current understanding, we may not know. What a vast knowledge, wisdom, experience, and limitless possibilities are born. But the truth is, with the birth of the child, all those limitless possibilities are born. Similarly here, we may or may not know what are those numberless shaktis that are descending when the main shakti of the Sri Vidya is descending into this shrine. But that process is happening. There are scriptures. They give us quite detailed information that what are those shaktis descending during the time of consecration or even beforehand. When you come, you will see. Right at the arch gate, there are a large cluster of divinities. And during our study program, which, by the way, I will be taking 12 sessions. And in those 12 sessions, I will cover exactly, step by step, what kind of divinities are there at the shrine and how they correspond to the different kinds of shaktis and different kinds of potentials that are in our own body and mind, breath and consciousness. And thus you will learn how perfect is the equation between what lies there in the external world and what lies in our inner world, between the outer shrine and inner shrine. And how perfect is the relationship, what is in here and what is out there. Now, the main point is, how do we prepare to really bask in the shakti that is there? I'll share with you something super, super simple, but please take it seriously. Preparation for Sri Vidya Sadhana Immersion that coincides with the Sri Vidya consecration of the Sri Vidya Shrine includes something super simple. In order to prepare, Please repair your body, mind, breath, and consciousness. Try your best to put yourself in one piece. And make sure that you try your best to heal and nourish yourself as much as you can so that you reclaim everything that is here. It is very, very difficult to contain nectar, sap of life, in a container that has holes in it. The giver hesitates to give us upon seeing that our container, our bowl, is very dirty. Okay, very dirty. So it's very important that we should try to keep our container as clean as possible and seal as many holes as possible. What should we do? Form a habit, because it doesn't happen overnight. Even if you came here on July 15th, stayed here, you will bring with you your old habits. Habit to worry, habit to become cranky, lose your temper, habit to keep checking your emails, your habit to keep looking at your Facebook, Twitter, your WhatsApp, depending on how deeply interested you have been in the past regarding about politics, about stock market, about your friends and family members whom you love very much or whom you hate very much. Those things will come with you. That is why I will advise that still you have 3 more days to prepare. Please, after hearing this message from me, pay attention to your own habit patterns and make a decision, conscious decision, that starting from June 1st, you will try your best to minimize those strong habits. Okay? Strong habits. And you do not need to cultivate too many new habits. Just try to cultivate one habit. That's called maitri, friendliness. Practice friendliness toward those who seem to be a little bit more lucky than you are, more prosperous and happy than you are, more successful than you are. Watch how much it bothers you to see others' prosperity. How much others' prosperity bothers you? There is a positive competition, there is meaningless, useless competition. Competing for some higher purpose, that's okay. Competing mindlessly and competing to the point where you start incinerating, burning your own gray matter, that's not worth it. And in fact, you can accomplish a lot if you can conserve your inner Shakti for a while. Then use that inner Shakti to compete and exceed everybody. That's fine too. For the next 44 days, you make a conscious decision that you will keep yourself away from anger and hatred, revenge, and you will keep yourself away from unnecessary self-righteous behaviors. In 44 days' time, you will become so clear, so transparent, so radiant, and so unpointed in your mind that automatically you will start noticing, you will start seeing very clearly what is there to be competed and what is there totally useless, and you are trying to compete uselessly, mindlessly, without any real goal and objective. You are just doing it out of habit just because others are also doing it. That's big relief. The contemplative part of our practices do not count as part of our practice. That's what normally people think. The practice means something so-called, quote, technical. This many minutes of asana, this many minutes of pranayama, this many minutes of biking, this many minutes of this many minutes of that. And then you calculate, this is my practice. Definitely it has great value. But if the subtle principles and are not well taken care of, then all the energy that you gather from your these technique-driven practices will be kind of draining. It will drain away. Try your best. Just be a little bit more mindful regarding practicing your kindness and compassion, regarding how to involve yourself as less as possible. You know, in others' business. Just how simply not to just keep putting your nose into others' business. Just mind your business. It will simplify your life. So in these 40 days' time, 44 days' time, you will become quieter, calmer, you know, more vigilant person. And when you come here, automatically you will notice that. And the rest will be taken care of while you are here. The Shakti, the energy, the atmosphere of the shrine and the Himalayan and the institute campus, and the company of the like-minded people, and the whole atmosphere that is being created, that will be here during the consecration, will be such that even if there is a little bit problem here and there, and some of the deeply rooted habit patterns you have not yet even been able to identify, it really is not a big deal. They will be taken care of while you are here. But try your best to accomplish this part. That is the contemplative aspect of your preparation. Next, I understand majority of you have been practicing Navarana Mantra. Some of you coming here at that time might be practicing something else, whether Gayatri Mantra or Mahamrityunjaya Mantra or your personal mantra, or maybe something else you may have been doing it. That is just perfectly fine. Continue doing it. I mentioned a little bit more, I put more emphasis on Navarana Mantra because large number of you will be doing that practice, and therefore it is in that context first I'm telling that. Try your best to build your capacity before coming here. Build your capacity to do at least 5 mala, 7 mala, 10 mala. On the weekends, try your best to sit and meditate and do your japa twice a day rather than just once a day. So this way you have expanded your capacity to sit longer. If you have been noticing any kind of difficulty in your knees, in your lower back, please take some turmeric powder. In that case, I will advise that good, nice turmeric from the market. And in that, I'll say maybe around 10% of ginger powder, 10% black pepper powder, and 80% turmeric. Mix it together. Make sure that your black pepper powder is really, really nicely fine powder, because the granules, grains of black pepper is relatively heavier than the powder of the ginger and the turmeric. If the grains of the ginger, the black pepper is too heavy, too big, it will settle in the bottom. So this is what I will say. Please take some 1 teaspoonful of turmeric every day. That will help you heal your daily wear and tear on your body, as well as any other kind of inflammation that you may have. That will help you heal. This is not a medicine. This is, however, herb, and this have people, yogis, practitioners have been using it. So what it will do, it will help you overcome some of the daily wear and tear, and also bring you flexibility and help you overcome pain without really going through the route of any heavy duty medicine. If you are taking any heavy duty medicine, then that's fine too. Then continue doing it, you know. But I will advise, take a little turmeric. Form a habit of going for a walk. If you are trying to increase your sitting capacity by 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes by the time you come here, then also make sure that in attempt to sit longer, don't hurt yourself, don't hurt your knees, don't hurt your back, don't hurt your shoulders. No? Don't create a new set of problems, you know, in attempt to practice spirituality. That was my second point. Third point is that I have been emphasizing one particular mantra, and that mantra that consists of 11 names of Divine Mother Sri Vidya. In my previous seminars, I have explained that. Also, I had just a seminar last weekend. Again, I have explained the meaning of Navarana Mantra, as well as this 11 names of the Divine Mother, and a very complete meaning of that whole, all those 11 names. And so please start doing it. And it's only 11 repetitions a day. When you have finished your main course of meditation, whether it is Navarana Mantra or not, even Navarana, or any other mantra, really doesn't matter. At the end of your meditation, if you can do 11 repetitions of one particular prayer mantra, that will be great. And once you have learned it, it will hardly take 2 minutes, maybe even less than 2 minutes, to complete those 11 repetitions. But just because so many hundreds of us are doing it, just because it is the very soul of heart of Sri Vidya Shrine, and just because this mantra is already, this prayer is already, you know, circulating in the collective consciousness of thousands of people throughout the planet, therefore, your 11th repetition is a very, very big thing. It's a very big thing. Don't think that, oh yes, you just did 11 repetition, what's the big deal? No, don't let your mind fool you that way. Don't undermine the power of these 11 names. So start doing that practice. Again, you have solid 44, 45 days before you come here. And when you are here, as I was telling you, this particular mantra, 11 names of the Divine Mother, is substitute for the entire Durga Saptashati, those 700 mantras. And what is happening here is, during these 12 plus days when you are here, every day hundreds of people are doing this mantra, and there is havan going on along with the Shatrudriya. So the atmosphere will be such that no matter how small practice you have done, how short was the course of your practice, it will multiply exponentially. So I advise that you please do that. Okay. Then next, tell your friends, inspire your friends, especially those whom you know that they are not coming, but you know that how serious they are, no, for their own sadhana. In past 5, 2, 3, 5 years, 7 years time, you have known so many of your friends. I know so many of them. They are not able to come for one reason or other. Spread the word. Let them also do their sadhana. Let them do their practice. So that collectively all of us are strong, inspired, enthusiastic, and moving unitedly with united force, with united understanding in one single direction, that is seeking our personal fulfillment and freedom, and in the process empowering all other fellow beings to find their fulfillment and freedom. So please do so. Inspire others. This is all you need to do. The rest will be done here, when you are here. And of course, finally, most importantly, come with that excitement and enthusiasm. Remind yourself you are coming to attend such an occasion, which probably will take another century before such occasions appear. We are lucky to be born and to be living at a time when ancient cave and the Shakti of that cave of our tradition is moving to the west from the Himalayas and from ancient ancestral cave of Mount Kailas called Choku Gumpa to here in the west, here to the west. This doesn't happen so easily. On one hand, I feel bad that Chinese cultural revolution disrupted the great and profound spiritual tradition of Tibet. On the other hand, I feel, on one hand, good. This little selfish part of me feels good. That had it not been done, perhaps I would not have gotten incentive to go to the Tibet and bring my cave from that part of the world and transplant it here in the West. I hope this kind of thought process is not too bad. We have to find some goodness even in something which is not so good. So here, this is a great opportunity, so please come with that intention that we are being instrumental in doing something, establishing this shrine. And last, but not the least, pray for all of us. Pray for your institute. Pray for the tradition that this shrine emits the magical power which is unique characteristic of this tradition, yoga shakti. Let this yoga shakti guide us, nurture us, and let this, please pray that this yoga shakti that is being invited to reside in the Sri Vidya Shrine protects us from falling prey to the mindless, purposeless race that is causing our world to reach at the verge of collapse. There is no sustainability in our thought process, no sustainability in the world of commerce out there. Everybody is tired, exhausted, worried, fearful, anxious. Run, run, run. And people have no time to pause for a moment and see that how to make the best use of all the gifts that we have gathered from this mindless race. Of course, when you work hard, you achieve something, no doubt about it. And we have achieved something out there. But do we have really time, or even most importantly, understanding how to make the best use of all the wonderful gifts that today's socio-economic and political and religious stability that has given to us? Are we really able to make a very good use of it, especially with the exception of few countries, few societies and communities in the world? Fairly, we are living in a very wonderful world. Today we have least number of causes of fear, anxiety, insecurity. And yet we are so fearful, so anxious and so insecure. Please prepare yourself with that positive understanding and pray that the shrine that you are coming to attend and the subject you are coming to study and the practice you are going to undertake infuses your mind, my mind, everybody's mind and heart with that clear calm, that clear understanding and enthusiasm to do something good for ourselves and good for others, and let the forces of the cosmos bestow the boon that deep down in our soul is seeking. That is how you prepare yourself to take full advantage of this sign. Thank you very much, and please do write me note, do write your questions. And what I will do is, I'm quite sure that there will be some good number of overlapping of the questions. I will put them into, you know, some few categories, and I will respond to all of you. And before you come here, and meanwhile, please keep me and keep your institute and some of other aspirants, those who are undertaking their practice starting from June 1st, you know, for you and for all those people, those who are not able to come and attend our consecration of the Sri Vidya Shrine, for entire Himalayan Institute family, for all the friends and students and well-wishers of the Himalayan tradition, and for the entire yoga community and spiritual seekers, we are undertaking the practice which we feel that it will help all and it will inspire all of us to walk with one intention toward one goal, that is our inner and outer peace and prosperity. Thank you. God bless you all.